Not long after it was unveiled on July 13th, the second version of the proposed Senate Republican health care bill to repeal and replace Obamacare collapsed. A total of 4 senators announced their opposition to the legislation, which could only afford to lose 2 votes among the Republicans' slim 52-seat Senate majority. All of the 46 Democrats and 2 independents had pledged to vote against the measure. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell then moved to a third attempt to make good on the GOP's long-running campaign pledge to repeal President Obama's signature health care legislation. Following the lead of President Trump, McConnell said he was going to move to repeal Obamacare very soon and leave debate over a replacement plan for a future date. But not long after his Plan C was announced, 3 Senate Republicans declared their opposition to that plan, killing the standalone repeal attempt. In its second version, the Senate Repeal and Replace Plan would have maintained the dramatic cuts to Medicaid, assuring that 15 million Americans would have lost their health insurance by 2026, with millions more losing coverage due to higher premiums without subsidies. An amendment by Texas Senator Ted Cruz would have allowed insurers to offer cheaper policies with few benefits and discriminate against those with pre-existing conditions. Your reporter spoke with Dr. Susan Rogers, an advisor to the group Physicians for a National Health Program, who assesses the now-dead second version of the Senate GOP health care bill and reflects on how the current national debate has affected the campaign advocating the adoption of a single-payer universal health care system that would cover all Americans.
This bill is, this is as close to health care reform as an elephant is to a mouse. There is no reform in that bill at all. All it does is it decimates Medicaid in order to subsidize tax benefits to the wealthy. One of the misconceptions about the Affordable Care Act is that that's been the cause for insurance premiums to rise, deductibles to rise, co-payments for care to rise. But all of that started way before the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act did not cause that. It may have perpetuated it and made it happen a little bit faster. But this new bill does not do any change to how health care is delivered. All it does is it provides a way to cut benefits, to provide less coverage to people, so that people end up buying an insurance policy that essentially offers them no coverage. There's a lot of benefits that the Affordable Care Act did do, like allowing children to stay on their parents' policy till they're 26. It required some benefits that needed to be included, such as maternity care, physical therapy, long-term care, a whole variety of things that they've now taken out so that insurance companies don't have to provide this. So what it does is it says it's an insurance policy, but it's really not insuring people, because what they've done is to make it affordable, they've deleted the benefits. And then Medicaid, which is a big provider of health care, they've just decimated, and the number of people who are now going to be uninsured is going to be phenomenal.
Certainly, the Republican effort to repeal and replace Obamacare has focused a lot of national attention on the question of whether or not health care is a human right. And the Republicans certainly, by and large, have come down in opposition to the notion that people have a right to get health care when they're sick. How has this debate, in your view, moved opinion, if at all, in the direction of people around the country now believing that health care is a human right, as it is in most of the other industrialized nations of the world who have a universal health care system of some kind in place?
Yes. Well, PNHP, the Physicians for National Health Program, clearly believe that health care is a right. And like you say, more and more people are believing that, too. But a lot of the country does not, especially the Republicans who are sponsoring this bill. And one of the things that they promote is this argument that the market forces will finally stabilize healthcare costs and will solve this whole health care problem, and that competition in buying health insurance policies will, the competition itself will help lower costs. But it doesn't do that, because that does nothing to what the market allows things to be, what the market allows things to cost. If we look at what we pay in this country, for example, for a chest x-ray, we pay maybe 10 times as much as other industrialized countries with a single-payer system. Same thing for everything. A cardiac bypass can cost 3 to 4 times as much here in this country. And it's not any better here than it is elsewhere.
Dr. Rogers, how has all this controversy about Obamacare and now this Republican effort to repeal and replace Obamacare, how has it contributed or not to strengthening support for a single-payer universal health care system of some kind here in this country?
Yes, I think over the years, the numbers of people who support single-payer has increased. And if you look nationally, it is now the majority of physicians nationally support a single-payer system. And I think there's just a lot of confusion about what single-payer is, which really kind of tempers the support that we should be able to garner. And now the numbers, like I said, the numbers of doctors and non-physicians who are supporting single-payer has increased.
That was Dr. Susan Rogers, a retired Chicago internist and advisor to the group Physicians for a National Health Program. Find more information on the campaign for single-payer universal health care by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.